Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, welcome back to the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. Still feeling inspired from Alexis and moving over to our next guest, Richard Mulholland, who is the owner of Missing Link, and an entrepreneur, author and speaker. And amazingly, so he has spoken in over 40 countries on 6 continents. He's a rock and roll roadie turned entrepreneur. He is, as I said, he's the founder of this Missing Link. He's written 3 books, Legacide, Boredom Slayer, and his latest is Here Be Dragons. And he was voted top 40 under 40, although he said sadly he's no longer under 40, and top 300 South Africans to take to lunch. So I am so delighted to have this larger than life character, Richard Mulholland, on the show. Richard, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thanks so much, Nikki. I really appreciate it.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing. 40 countries, 6 continents, all of these accolades, 3 books. And at the beginning of the year, this amazing rise, I think it's the 6th or 7th year it happened this year. Mark Sham puts it together and the theme is rise. And you stood up and you spoke about relentless relevance. And that's so interesting. Why relentless relevance?
Now, Nikki, you mentioned a few minutes ago that I can no longer get the top 40 under 40. I will barely scrape through in the top 50 under 50 because I'm 49 this year. And sure, I don't know. But one of the things, I mean, it sounds silly. I mean, I sound like a peak dad when I say things like this, but you start questioning your own relevance. You know, I find myself thinking about it more and more. You know, I've got, you know, 15 years left in my career properly. I think I've got 10 years of energy for it. And I question myself and I think of, you know, am I still relevant? You know, I've spoken in 40 odd countries, but, you know, will I make it to 50 or 60? Do I still have a message worth sharing? And how do I make sure that I do? And the world feels like it's moving at a faster pace than it has my entire career. And so I start obsessing over this. And I realized if I obsess about this, then, you know, other people will be. And maybe if they're not, they should be.
So, I mean, I'm just what you're saying, you know, a friend of mine said the other day, she said, Nikki, we've got something like 20. I don't know why she said 20. We've got 20 more summers. I'm hoping it's going to be a lot more than 20, Richard. But it was the way she said it. And it was the way she was, it's like this claiming on a new way of living her life. 20 more summers. I want to do this when it's summer. And I want to do that when it's summer. And I want to tell you, as soon as she said it to me and there was this number, I felt myself starting to panic. And you now talking about these 15 years, you know, you said maybe 15 years left of your career, 10 years left of having this incredible energy that you have, and now you're going, what's it all about? How can I be relevant? And that's driving you. And yeah, I suppose when you look at it like that, it kind of gets you to wake up and smell the roses in such a way that you realize you got to do it now or time's going to run out.
Well, you do, but what's important for me is that even if I wake up every single day and I say, hey, I still have the energy and I still want to do this, let's say I've got 30 years in my career. If I'm solving yesterday's problem and I'm not appropriate to the matter at hand today, I'm irrelevant. And, you know, it's while the time frame is important and it, I guess, led to me questioning this, what I realized is that, you know, throughout my career, relevance had been a, you know, we all want to be relevant, but relevance had been something like a waypoint. It was a point in the map that am I still relevant today? And then once I became relevant, then it was something that I could consider. But now it feels like we have to be relentless in this pursuit of that, because if we let go for a minute, then we can very, very quickly become irrelevant. So it's just something we have to consider. We have to be thinking
anxiety inducing, Richard. I mean, that's exhausting, this relentless pursuit of relevance. What do you see as relevance?
Relevance is about being appropriate to the matter at hand. So am I solving a meaningful problem that the world has today? And I think it's exhausting, but I think it's also exciting. I'd be more exhausted if I was doing the same thing over and over and over again every single day on repeat for a 45-year-long career. Yeah. But if I'm constantly trying to solve new interesting problems that the world has using the ever-growing skills and wisdom that I have in my career, then that should be exciting and exhilarating as opposed to exhausting. It's exhausting if we think about it in an intimidating way. It's exciting if we think about it in a curious way.
And I love that. Absolutely. Okay, so you've reframed it. It's not exhausting. It's now exciting. So maybe you can give us some examples of people who are on this relentless pursuit of being relevant. Because as you have said, things are changing so quickly. And we now live in a world where we have kind of been pushed in a direction where we want this instant gratification. We want the likes. We want to reply. There's this life is coming at us 24/7. Move, 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 go, 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 go. Not easy to be relevant for a long period of time.
It's not easy if we want to maintain.
Am I coming with the limiting again, Richard?
No, I think you're right. I think it's not easy. If you start to accept my first book you mentioned earlier is called Legacide. And the idea is that legacy thinking is a silent killer of innovation. Innovation happens when you start doing something new. It doesn't happen when you're starting something new. It happens when you stop doing something old. And I think to some degree, that's true for relevance as well. If we want to remain relevant, we have to be willing to stop seeing ourselves as our identity of the past. We are not what got us here. We are what we will be doing today. And, every decision we make today is about curating something going forward. And you asked for an example. And, you mentioned I came from rock and roll. And one of the bands I was lucky enough to work with very briefly, but was the band U2. And I think if you want to look at a band that's managed to stay relevant, time and time and time again, it's them. They understand that they are more than just the music they create. You know, in the 80s when they started, they were about their activism and how they grew from there. Then their stage performances were always one step ahead every time. Then they got involved in, the launch of the iPod. They got involved in, every time there was a band that was paving the way, it was them. And if you've seen the new Vegas Dome, where they become, an act in residence in this fully immersive 360 degree experience. That's an extension of what they already had tried to do, a decade ago with limiting technology. This is a band that's always saying what happened yesterday that we can take advantage of today to be better tomorrow. And that's what they just do time and time and time again. They ask themselves those questions, not what made us successful and how can we do more of it? What world do we live in today? And they're just such an inspiring example of a band who's just really, really always managed to figure it out. I'm in awe of them.
What a great example, Richard. Okay, so if we take away, based on what you've said, and you talk about this relentless pursuit of relevance, and I love what you said, don't be fearful, be excited about it. And it's not looking to the past. It's changing and shifting and being relevant with the world, solving problems now. So you're speaking a lot to a mindset. Am I right?
Absolutely. It's very, very much a mindset. You're choosing to attack or to embrace the world where it's at rather than trying to defend. And in fact, one of the core tenets of relentless relevance is you're either an attacker or a defender. You're either trying to create the new world, challenging the old models of the past, or you're trying to defend them. And when it comes to progress, it's very, very rare that the defenders win. Whether it's political or whether it's ideological or whether it's technological, the people who are trying to hold on to the technologies and the way of life of the past almost always lose to those who are marching into the future. And I think that that's what we have to become. We have to embrace the fact that the world is evolving and that by and large, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, I think this resonates with lots of people and certainly with me. So the defender is the one who's stuck in the past and you're saying the attacker is the one who's going forward, part of this exciting future.
Yeah, and attacking and defense, it's obviously it sounds like heated terms, but yeah. I'm a business owner. I've owned a company for 27 years. My job is not to defend, is not to try and say, well, there are new businesses out there. There's AI and it's doing amazing things. And, you know, we help people develop presentations, but AI can do this. My job is not to defend our business model. My job is to make our old business model obsolete. It's to figure out, how can I attack the status quo? How can I be a threat to the threat? To quote my friend Eric Kruger, you know, you've got to sit there and say, okay, what can we do to be the change? And that's the, you know, I think about that as an individual, as a speaker, as a writer, you know, what am I doing to challenge the status quo or the comfort that I, that past me was sitting in? Because comfort is such a terrible place to be. You know that if you're comfortable, the threat is coming.
So we've spoken about the band, we've spoken about corporate, and we don't have that much time left. But for individuals who are listening right now, who are finding this new world, AI, whatever it is, changing, being relevant, a little bit overwhelming, or maybe they are so inspired by what you've said and they thought, yes, I want to get into that attitude. We've spoken about it being a mindset. What's the first step? I mean, how does one get on board being this going for it as opposed to staying in this past and defending and being intimidated by what's going on or threatened?
Yeah. So to me, the first question to ask yourself, and like, this is a question that you should ask regularly. If I could ask you to add one thing to the mirror at home, you know, a line that's on your mirror and you step it on with little vinyl things, you stick it on, it would be, how am I interesting? And the answer to that is, how interested am I? I think we have to become invested. We have to become curious again. If we can unlock our personal curiosity and we can start asking ourselves the question, you know, what technology or what thing happened yesterday that can make me better today to create a better existence tomorrow? These are the things that we have to start doing. So the first thing is to embrace the present, embrace what is available today. Look at what is around and ask yourself, you know, how can I be a threat to the past version of who I was? What tools exist today to make me better, to put me at the front, to give me an unfair advantage? And, you know, AI is not to be afraid of. AI is to be embraced. I see it as not an artificial intelligence, but an augmented intelligence. It can make all of us smarter and better, but we've got to be curious and excited by it. And instead of trying to defend our old models against it, I would just really, really challenge people to go out and seek new technologies and to embrace the future as well as we can. Because when you start with that mindset, you really, really do have an unfair advantage.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Richard. I just love what you've said. Incredibly inspiring and certainly a new way of looking at things. Richard, thank you. Thank you for joining us. So where can people get hold of you? I mean, are you going to be giving any of these talks and your, you know, this book, latest book, do you cover this in your book?
So the first book, Legacide, is probably the most relevant to Relentless Relevance.
Really?
Okay. The Here Be Dragons is more a book around storytelling and sales. It's very, very specific. And Boredom Stairs is around presenting. They're very more around the day-to-day work that we do at Missing Link. Anybody who wants to get a hold of me is welcome to go to my website. They'll get there easier if they can't spell my name, by getrich.af. That'll get them directly to me. It'll take you to richmulholland.com. And if you want to see what we're doing at Missing Link, you can go to ineedmissinglink.com and you'll find us there.
Fantastic. Richard, thank you. Thank you for injecting so much life into this last 20 minutes. It's been fantastic having you on the show. Take care. So there we have it, Richard Mulholland, and talking about this relentless pursuit of relevance. And I don't know about you, but I'm sort of one of those who defends a little bit of the past and I get a little bit nervous about this future. And so listening to Richard has really got me excited, actually. I hope it got you excited and I hope that it inspired you as well. Listen, we've run out of time. I wish you a Chag Pesach Sameach. Take care. Look after yourself. May it be meaningful. We pray for peace in the world. We pray for freedom. We pray for the freedom of the hostages. We pray for a better world for us all. Please, God. Until next week, I think we're going to be on next week. Take care. From me, Nikki Seberini. Goodbye.